The problems in America are the result of people being led to believe things that are not true. America has been lulled into a deep sleep, and it is now time to wake up. Wake up, America! Psychological warfare is being waged against an unsuspecting public. As in any war, the most powerful weapon of all, and the least understood by those who need to know, is money. In a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1787, John Adams wrote,
"All the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects of the Constitution, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation."
What was true then is even more true today. Confusion surrounds the very meaning of the words money, dollar, wealth, inflation, and credit. Add to this widespread public ignorance and confusion concerning tax laws, and you have a system designed to control and enslave the population. The money system operates in a way that would astound most Americans if they only knew how it worked. A dishonest money system is at the very heart of America's economic and social problems. The degree to which the money system is corrupt is the degree to which all other areas of society are corrupted. Money is the builder or destroyer of society. An honest money system brings prosperity to all citizens. A dishonest one enriches a few at the expense of everyone else. If a group of men were able to gain control over the money system of a nation, would they not be masters of that nation? If they had unlimited power to create unlimited amounts of money, could they not direct the course of society and all of its institutions? If their alliance encompassed the length and breadth of the globe, would they not be masters of the world? On November 22, 1910, the nation's leading bankers left by train at night from Hoboken, New Jersey, on a secret mission to Jekyll Island, Georgia. Their mission, to create what was to become the Federal Reserve System. The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. Use of the word federal in the name Federal Reserve leads the public to believe that the Federal Reserve is a government institution. Contrary to this misleading use of language, the Fed, as it is commonly called, is a private corporation owned by foreign and domestic banks and operated for profit. The Fed controls the nation's money supply and interest rates, and thereby manipulates the entire economy, in violation of Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution that expressly charges Congress with
power to coin money and regulate the value thereof.
Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says,
no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts.
Gold and silver coin were taken out of circulation, removed as backing for our currency, and replaced with monetized debt, in other words, credit. Credit exists only in the mind. It is not a substance, but an idea represented by bookkeeping entries and computer symbols. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. The manipulation of words and their meaning is the key to controlling what people think. Orwell called the redefining of words newspeak, where traditional definitions are eliminated while new meanings are repeated over and over again until accepted. The definition of the word dollar has undergone such a transformation to hide the fact that it is not money, but a unit of measurement for gold and silver coin. Title 12, United States Code, Section 152 states,
"The terms lawful money or lawful money of the United States shall be construed to mean gold or silver coin of the United States."
Title 31, United States Code, Section 371 says,
"The money of account of the United States shall be expressed in dollars."
A dollar is not money. It is the expression of money. The money of account of the United States is gold and silver coin. A dollar is a unit of measurement, like an inch or a quart or a mile. Congress, in the Coinage Act of 1792, fixed the dollar as a specific weight of silver in the form of a coin, and fixed the value of a gold coin in relation to the dollar unit of silver. If there are no gold and silver coins, there are no dollars of anything. Dollars cannot be money any more than quarts can be milk. A unit of measurement cannot replace or become the thing for which it is the measure. However, in the mind of the public, this is exactly what has happened. People have been led to believe that a dollar is both money and a measure of it. This is what George Orwell called doublethink, where the mind is infiltrated with conflicting concepts, unawares. Centuries ago, it became common practice for people to store their gold in the vault of the local goldsmith for a fee. The goldsmith would give the depositor a receipt for the amount of gold stored for safekeeping. The receipt was not money, but a money substitute. It also became common practice for people to exchange these warehouse receipts with one another for goods and services as if they were money, since the receipts could be redeemed for the gold held in storage. The goldsmith soon discovered that only a small percentage of the gold stored in his vault was ever reclaimed. He began issuing receipts for more gold than he had, using some of them himself to buy things, and loaning the rest at interest while taking title to real property as collateral. In either case, there was no gold in the vault for these extra receipts. By increasing the quantity of the money substitute, the goldsmith had stolen from the holders of legitimate receipts, the value of which was reduced by the number of fraudulent receipts issued. Paper currency, a money substitute, is honest only when the real money for which it is a substitute equals the number of receipts in circulation. By manipulating the number of receipts in circulation, the goldsmith quietly confiscated the wealth of the community without anyone being aware of what was happening. By reducing the number of receipts, he could make money scarce, causing a depression where he could foreclose on property and increase his wealth. He could then stimulate economic activity and bring prosperity by increasing the number of receipts until the next cycle of plunder. All of America's economic problems originate with the practice of issuing fraudulent receipts for gold that does not exist. This practice became standard operating procedure for the banking establishment. The modern-day counterpart to the warehouse receipt for gold is the Federal Reserve note. Remember, the essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words. The word federal implies federal government, but the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation. The word reserve implies there is something to give the paper receipt value, but no gold or silver backs this paper. The word note implies a contract, because a note, by law, must identify who is paying, what is being paid, to whom, and when. Between 1914 and 1963, Federal Reserve notes never claimed to be money, nor did they claim to be dollars. A note for $5 read as follows.
The United States of America will pay to the bearer on demand $5.
Can a promise to pay $5 be $5? To the left of the president's picture and above the bank seal, it said,
this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at the United States Treasury or at any Federal Reserve Bank.
In 1963, soon after the assassination of President Kennedy, the Fed began to issue its first series of notes without the promise, while taking notes with the promise out of circulation. Can paper become what it promises by removing the promise? To the left of the president's picture and above the bank seal, it now read,
this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
A note is an IOU. It is evidence of debt. It is not possible to pay off a debt with a debt. No debt can be paid in full unless paid in gold or silver, coined and regulated in value by Congress. The name Federal Reserve Note is a fraudulent label, since each word claims to be something that in reality it is not. By removing the promise to redeem the note in lawful money, the federal government, in cooperation with the Federal Reserve, eliminated the monetary system of the United States as established by the Constitution and replaced it with something totally different. On page 12 of Keeping Our Money Healthy, published by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, it states,
the Federal Reserve System works only with credit.
Credit is not a tangible substance like gold or silver coin. You cannot touch it, nor can you weigh or measure it in dollars like gold or silver coin. Credit exists only in the mind, and it is necessary to control minds to induce the public to accept pieces of paper with numbers on them in place of lawful money. If you are holding a $5 Federal Reserve note, the question you need to ask yourself is, what is it $5 of? The answer is absolutely nothing. The number five measures no substance. The only thing that gives paper money value is the confidence people have in it. It is entirely psychological. There are only two economic systems. One is barter. The other is credit. Barter is simply the exchange of one thing of value for something else of value. A monetary system using gold and silver coin is a barter system. Throughout history, many different things have served as a medium of exchange, because money in and of itself does not exist. Something must be used as money. People have traded for goods and services using cows, salt, tea, opium, and tobacco. Gold and silver have been accepted as money worldwide since ancient times. All things used as money have had a common characteristic. They were all tangible wealth. They were all things you could touch. They were all things you could weigh and measure. Credit, on the other hand, is intangible. You cannot touch it, you cannot weigh and measure it, because there is no substance to weigh and measure. It is all imagination. An honest money system uses wealth as a medium of exchange. Wealth is physical, not psychological. People produce wealth through their labor, transforming natural resources into usable products that have exchange value in the marketplace. Gold and silver converted to coin by human labor is wealth. Credit is not wealth. No labor is expended in the creation of credit other than a magician's sleight of hand. Centuries ago, when the goldsmith issued his first receipt for gold that did not exist, he created credit. He also created inflation, because credit and inflation are the same thing. They are both receipts for wealth that does not exist. They are both an imaginary medium of exchange. Remember, paper currency, a money substitute, is honest only when the real money for which it is a substitute equals the number of receipts in circulation. When half of the receipts circulating as a money substitute are redeemable in gold, the other half is both credit and inflation. When none of the receipts are redeemable, all of it is credit and inflation. Credit, bank credit, is inflation. Anything used as a medium of exchange in place of wealth is inflation. When using gold and silver coin as money, there can be no inflation. Therefore, the only cure for inflation is honest money. An honest and sound money system employs just weights and measures. A $10 gold coin is twice as large and twice as heavy as a $5 gold coin. Remember, a dollar is a unit of measurement for gold and silver coin to ensure uniformity of weight, purity, and value. A dollar unit of paper money that is not 100% redeemable in gold or silver coin is a dollar unit of inflation, which is a dollar unit of credit, which is a dollar unit of nothing. The sole function of paper money that is not 100% redeemable in gold or silver coin is to get things without paying for them. Those who issue and control paper money as credit get everything for nothing. Paper money as credit is a device to confiscate wealth using magic with numbers, where numbers of nothing are exchanged for things of substance and value. It was Daniel Webster who said,
"Of all the contrivances devised for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes him with paper money."
Paper money, bogus money. It's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you as it leads you down to tyranny.
The American Revolution was fought over the issue of money. The colonies created their own paper money and paid it into circulation on public projects until enough taxes could be collected in gold and silver coin to buy back the paper. Colonial scrip, as it was called, was used as a temporary emergency measure to meet the demands of commerce. The rapid growth and prosperity of the colonies attracted the attention of the Bank of England, a private corporation chartered by the British Crown in 1694 and granted an exclusive monopoly to create money out of nothing and loan it into circulation at interest. Having gained control over British industry through frequent depressions caused by manipulating the quantity of paper money, the Bank of England sought to exploit the colonies by seizing control over their money. The British Parliament had no power over the colonies until the campaign by the Bank of England to nullify laws granting the colonies the right to create their own money, making it compulsory that the colonies borrow their money at interest from the Bank of England. This was the true cause of the War for Independence. Benjamin Franklin put it this way.
The colonies would have gladly borne the little tax on tea and other matters, had it not been that England took away from the colonies their money.
When the monetary provisions of the Constitution were being drafted, there were heated debates over whether or not to grant Congress power to emit bills of credit, in other words, print paper money. The colonies knew the agonies of inflation, paper money that does not maintain its value when it is not an honest claim for wealth such as gold and silver coin. Oliver Ellsworth, a delegate from Connecticut, who later became this nation's third Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said,
"This is a favorable moment to shut and bar the door against paper money. The mischief of the various experiments which have been made are now fresh in the public mind and have excited the disgust of all the respectable parts of America."
Roger Sherman, also a delegate from Connecticut and author of the gold and silver coin provision of the Constitution, wrote a scathing condemnation of paper money entitled A Caveat.
Caveat means warning.
Against injustice, in which he said,
"If what is used as a medium of exchange is fluctuating in its value, it is no better than unjust weights and measures, both of which are condemned by the laws of God and man, and therefore the longest and most universal custom could never make the use of such a medium either lawful or reasonable."
And so the framers of the Constitution stipulated a monetary system of gold and silver to be coined and regulated in value by Congress, and prohibited the government from issuing paper money, as stated in Article 1, Sections 8 and 10 of the Constitution.
Congress shall have power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts.
With an honest money system established in the United States, no nation would be able to maintain a dishonest money system for long. And this posed a serious threat to the money power centered in London. The Revolutionary War did not end the battle over who would control the money system of America. The battle continued until the money power of England and Europe and their associates in America achieved victory when Congress, anxious to go home for the Christmas holiday, passed the Federal Reserve Act on December 23, 1913. Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh Sr., father of the famed aviator, told Congress after the vote,
When the president signs this act, the invisible government by the money power will be legalized.
And so it was. President Woodrow Wilson signed the act into law, turning over the money system of this nation to a group of private bankers and allowing them to create money simply by making bookkeeping entries, loan it at interest, and take title to real property as collateral. As a result, the citizens of the United States lost control over their money system and their government. The Federal Reserve System is modeled after the Bank of England. Though it consists of 12 regional banks, it functions as the nation's central bank. It is where banks go to borrow money and is appropriately called the banker's bank. The Federal Reserve System is a private corporation owned by foreign and domestic banks and operated for profit. The Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Bank of Italy, the Reichsbank of Germany were all founded as privately owned banks and not as government institutions as their names imply. Remember, the essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. The international banking establishment operates on the principles of fractional reserve banking that originated with the goldsmith long ago. It is based on the dishonest practice of issuing receipts for more gold than is held on deposit. On page 4 of Modern Money Mechanics, published by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, it says,
"At one time, bankers were merely middlemen. They made a profit by accepting gold and coins brought to them for safekeeping and lending them to borrowers. But they soon found that the receipts they issued to depositors were being used as a means of payment. These receipts were acceptable as money since whoever held them could go to the banker and exchange them for metallic money. Then bankers discovered that they could make loans merely by giving borrowers their promises to pay, banknotes. In this way, banks began to create money. More notes could be issued than the gold and coin on hand because only a portion of the notes outstanding would be presented for payment at any one time. Enough metallic money had to be kept on hand, of course, to redeem whatever volume of notes was presented for payment."
And when they did not keep enough gold and silver coin on hand to redeem all notes presented for payment, their fraud was exposed and short bankers were hung from tall trees. Under fractional reserve banking, banks create money whenever they grant a loan. It is the act of borrowing that causes it to come into existence. Banks lend money that did not exist until they loaned it. It is a true feat of magic. Banks create money by monetizing debt, the debts of government, business, and the public. Banks literally create money out of less than nothing, because a debt is a sum of money due. It is not possible to pay a debt with a debt. And yet, this is what America and the world is using as money. Federal Reserve notes are evidence of debt the U.S. government owes to the owners of the Federal Reserve, the payment of which is guaranteed by the collateral of all property and income of all U.S. citizens.
This is the end of Side 1. Turn over the tape for the continuation of Wake Up America.